I'm Maria Dudzak, and I am joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore. This is our final gardening call-in show for this season, and today we will be focusing on putting your garden to bed for the winter. It is that time, isn't it,
Lee? Yes, it is. It is.
Things are
going to sleep.
Yes.
Becoming dormant. Yes. When we say putting the garden to bed, what we mean is finishing up the season, cleaning up any remaining weeds and debris, and putting away things that you won't use again until spring. So the cleaner the garden is now, the easier the beginning of 2015 garden season will be.
Okay, and is now the time, or should you have started earlier or starting later? How do you know when it's time to start, I guess, packing things up?
Usually the temperature will tell you. You know, as things begin to die or go dormant, lose their leaves, it's time to start doing something. So, and my suggestion is pick what you think is most important. If you put in a lot of new annuals and they need to be protected from deer or whatever is going to nibble on them, you need to do something, make a little, some kind of a cage to protect them through the winter.
Okay, and at this time, I know my garden, it seemed like, and I had vegetables planted, it seems like things were pretty late for me this year when they actually started producing.
Yes, I agree with you, especially tomatoes. I'm still harvesting tomatoes, but again, it's time to decide, you know, the plant itself looks pretty yucky, it's not going to get any bigger, to pull off the tomatoes, and if they're not ripe, wrap them in newspaper and put them aside so that they will continue ripening. Won't be quite like a vine-ripened, fresh-picked tomato, but it's at least as good as what you get at the grocery store.
And pretty much at this point, things are done.
Things are done.
Are there any things that still should be left to grow out there? I'm not sure what continues. It just seems like you never know. Are there?
Well, all of the annuals will continue, and you just need to make sure that you've cleaned up around them, and if they're diseased or damaged, that you fix that now so that it doesn't become a bigger problem for spring.
Okay, and cleaning up around it, you're getting rid of old rotting leaves beneath it,
well,
things like that?
Well, let's say you have an apple tree. You need to make sure that you get the fruit picked up because you don't want any little critters burrowing in the ground to eat the fruit, and then maybe damage the tree roots or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. And along with cleaning up dead material or disease-looking material, what else are you doing for that garden?
Well, if you have garden art, and I realize this is not a plant, but it's time to bring it in so that it's not damaged by the weather. And if you started your garden journal and some of your pieces need to be repainted or repaired, bring them inside, put them away, and write on your garden journal, on your do list, you need to paint the giant grasshoppers again so that they look clean and shiny in September. And you really have all winter to do that. You know, you can go out and work a little bit at a time in the workshop or the garage. If you still have bulbs, you can still go ahead and plant those. And if you bought hyacinths or paper whites, you can bring those inside and force those so you'll have blooms in about 6 weeks.
And I also believe there is a forcing bulbs workshop tonight.
There is. We help lots of people come. We have a few bulbs and a few containers to share. So come and learn Rebecca Jackson's insider secrets to forcing bulbs. And she's even going to talk about forcing some branches. Like in the spring when the pussy willows come out, you can take those inside and force those and have that aroma of pussy willows.
Okay, and that is a presentation by the Garden Club tonight at the Ketchikan Public Library at 6:30,
yes.
I do believe.
Yes.
And so, okay, I am a person with containers. Is there a difference in how I clean up and treat my container garden versus a yard garden?
Well, if it's a big container, and I'm going to put just flowers in it the next year, I just leave it. Most of mine are too big to move around. The containers that I have on my deck, that this is the third year that I raised potatoes in them, that soil needs to go out into the general garden. I don't want to get scab on my potatoes next spring, so that's what I'll do. And after I get them emptied, then I will take and clean out the containers and mix a cup of Clorox into a gallon of vinegar and scrub the insides and then rinse them out and turn them upside down to drain and dry and just leave them in the garage or someplace so that they can spend the winter just being doing nothing.
And what do you do with the soil? Do you get rid of the soil? Do you save it for later use?
If it was just flowers and the soil is usable again, I will dump it into a big bin in the workshop so it has a chance to dry out. And then I will refresh it in the spring by adding compost, leaf mold, you know, something like that, so that it is then ready to use again.
Excuse me. So it depends what you've planted in it.
Yes, it does. And it also depends on the purpose that you're going to use the soil for next year. Soil that I planted flowers in this year would be okay for potatoes next year. But potato soil that I've used three times just needs to be put in the garden somewhere. I can probably put several of my beds under 2 inches of soil for next year and just let it sit there. And the freezing and the thawing will kind of mix it in with the other stuff.
And are potatoes in particular, like, blight? Is there something worrisome about potatoes that makes you not want to reuse that soil?
Well, I have heard about scab. I've had it once, and it's just little black spots that appear on the skin of the potato. And it's a natural occurring something that gets on the skin of the potatoes, and they just don't look pretty. And so if you don't fertilize your potatoes and you don't use your soil for years and years and years, then your potatoes are always pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that soil is still good. It doesn't bother other things. You can raise, put it around your rhubarb, put it around your tomatoes, put it just around flower beds, just fill in a shallow spot. It's still very good soil.
Okay, and also I know some people put, like, cover, I guess, their gardens with things, maybe seaweed or other things. Is that a good idea? And do you do that with everything or only certain things?
We use a lot of seaweed at Blue Star, and we put it 4 to 6 inches thick and cover the garden. We put it around everything, but we don't let it touch, like, our roadie trunks or the pyrus that's there or the lilac, but other things, we just cover the ground with it. It is an excellent source, excuse me, of vitamins and minerals for the general garden. And then in the spring, if we've had a warm spring and it dries out, you can crumble it up and drop it back on the soil, or you can collect it and put it in wherever you want it.
Is it something you can work in the soil in spring, or you generally don't do that? You remove it?
If it's dry and you can crumble it, you can work it in. You don't want to put in tons of it, but you can put in some. I know people who put it in the compost pile and compost it that way. If it's left exposed, you do have kind of a fishy, salty odor. I don't find it offensive, but it's excellent source of nutrients for the plants.
Okay, and for those not familiar with the Blue Star, that's the memorial garden that's over by the Alaska Marine Highway building, over there by the post office. And as you walk by or drive by, you can check it out and kind of get a feel for how that garden is tended to. So folks have been putting that garden to bed?
We haven't started putting it to bed yet. Most of our workers have been gone for a while. And so it is now time especially to bring in the geraniums. We dig them up, and we have a member who overwinters them. She cuts them back, starts the cuttings, and then we have plants for Blue Star in the spring and also for our plant sale.
Okay. And a reminder, this is a call-in show. So if you have any questions about putting your garden to bed or perhaps getting yourself ready now for the next season, give us a call, 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And speaking of that, getting ready for come spring, are there things you should be doing right now to be ready for spring?
Well, you want to clean up. You know, make sure you get, especially remove anything that's diseased or damaged. I don't put diseased and damaged stuff in my compost pile. I put it in my trash and it goes to the landfill, which is probably not. But anyway, that's what I do. Clean up under your fruit trees. Clean up your tools, oil them, and put them away. We talked about you know, how to sharpen them and stuff earlier. Bring in your stakes and the hangers and any cages that you're not going to use over the winter. This is the time when I paint my small tool handles, so in the spring, if I leave them out, they're easier to see. If you have herbs outside that look good, you can pot some of those up and bring them inside. Or if they're like the mint and the stuff is starting to look a little bit scraggly, you can bring that in, rinse it off, and dry it, and use it all winter. And feel really good because you raised that, and now you're putting the basil and the thyme and the rosemary in something that you'll enjoy eating. If you planted annuals, make sure you protect the, not annuals, tender perennials. It's time to bring in your begonias and get the tuber out of the soil and check it for damage, and then let it dry a bit and then pack it away. The same thing with dahlias. If you have cannas or any tender bulbs, those need to be brought in. It's time to bring the fuchsias in. Cut them back and put them someplace where they'll stay cool through the winter but not freeze. Tag plants that you don't like their place in the garden. Let's say you have green next to purple and you don't like that combination. Tag one of them to move someplace else. I buy the craft sticks and put red on one end of them and put that where that plant is so that I know that I need to do something or want to do something with it. Then on my do list, I will write move red columbine next to white columbine.
And so that you're tagging those plants to not to do anything with now, but when spring comes.
When spring comes.
And when you start seeing them come up.
Then it's time to move them. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Work on your compost pile. If you didn't start a compost pile and you're raking up leaves and cutting back the columbine or your hellebores or your hostas, that makes wonderful compost. So put that in your garden, in your compost pile. If you've raked up the leaves off the maple tree, put those in the compost, or just, I like to press those flat over the garden beds and fluff them through the winter so that they become a wonderful leaf mold. It's an excellent fertilizer. Consider one of your best or most favorite photographs that you took during the summer and use that to make a Christmas card. You know, here's spring in Ketchikan, or, you know, this is how I spent my summer. And just do that. And there's, you know, I put granular fertilizer in a bucket with a tight lid so it doesn't deteriorate with dampness. And the same way, if I have any slug bait or any specific chemicals that I use in the garden, those need to go in something so that they don't deteriorate because of the moisture. If you bring in plants like geraniums or mint or sage or chives, you need to make sure that you're not bringing in insects. I take wash them off under the faucet, and I use as strong a water as comes out of my faucet, and I like ice cold water because I think it shocks the insect and it gets cold and it can't move, so it should be washed off. If I bring in a potted plant, I will wrap the pot in saran wrap so I don't damage the soil. Hold the plant under the water to wash it off, and then sit it in a shady place in the house so it's not getting direct sun to dry. I will scrape off some of the topsoil and put in fresh and scrub the outside of the pot just with water and a stiff brush. And then you have, you know, you can bring in blooming plants. If you bring geraniums in, you can cut them back and perhaps they'll bloom all winter if you keep them in a sunny window.
Okay, you mentioned bringing the plants in that may have insects on them. So is that you're still continuing to grow them, or you
yes.
harvested? Okay, so you're rinsing off.
I'm rinsing off the leaves chives. And the stems just to make sure that there's no insects there. Sage will grow inside, outside. It lasts all year long. So, and I like to use it in when I do chicken and dumplings, and put the sage in there. And fresh sage is, you know, so aromatic that it. I like it better than dry, and it just it looks pretty in the window. I've got purple and green. It just, it looks pretty. It will be there all winter, and I will probably cook more chicken, knowing that I have that herb to add with it. Chives, I just snipped whatever I want off and put that on top of a baked potato or on top of a green salad or potato salad, something like that.
And when you are, say, washing the chives, the plant, I imagine you're uprooting it in order to do that?
No.
So how do you do that without getting dirt in your sink?
I wrap the pot in saran wrap and pull it up tightly around the chives as they come out of the ground. And then you can wash the chives off. And you need to kind of dig around and look. Sometimes I'll take a magnifying glass and look to make sure that I'm not missing something. And then I will take the pot and sit it down and scrape off some of the topsoil to make sure there's no eggs or anything like that resting there, and then add some fresh soil, scrub the pot, and put it where I want it to spend the winter.
And I'd also say watch for slugs, because I've had that where
they
burrow in the soil, you bring the plant inside, and then, you know, late at night, you notice these little trails. But it took a long time for me to find the slug itself. But
and that's when it's time to take it out of the pot and watch it. You know, if you see it, you can put like Gorilla tape or the silver tape on the top of the soil or on the stem of the plant, and then the slug will stick to that. And you just cut the tape and throw it away.
Oh, clever ways to get them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, again, this is a call-in show. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 225-9655. Or 1-800-557-5723. Have about 15 minutes left in the show. So if you have questions, please get them in now. What also about thinking, I guess, planning ahead to next year, would you be buying your seeds and things right now?
Yes. You know, whichever is your favorite seed company, buy your seeds or buy them locally. You can get some nice varieties of seeds at the nurseries. And get those ready. Watch your timeline. So it says plant 6 weeks before the last frost. Then, you know, look in the almanac or look online or call the weatherman and say, hey, when is our average last frost? And then you know how many weeks ahead of time to plant that.
And I have a question about that, because I planted things where it said that, but it wasn't until it warmed up that anything really grew. So even though it was at the time where it says, you know, X number of weeks before the last frost, really I didn't produce any carrots or whatnot until quite late in the season.
Well, what is the temperature in your house? If your house is 50 degrees, nothing's going to come up at that time. Put them in a window, put them on a heat mat. I have plastic shelves that I put up next to the heater, you know, the hot water heater, so that they get some of that heat. And I put them under lamps. You know, if I have a desk lamp, then I'll sit a pot of something under the desk lamp so that they get a little extra warmth. My guess would be that your house is cool.
Oh, yeah, it is. But also a lot of it, I was planting them outdoors where it was cool outside. It was a cool
season.
Well,
then they would come up when they're supposed to. You know, I plant peas as soon as the ground thaws, and oftentimes it will take a month before they come up. It's just they work at their own time. If you're planting seeds in pots where you're going to take them out and then plant them somewhere else, that's where your timeline is important.
Okay. All right. Also, you mentioned a lot of like cleaning up your tools and caring for them. Are there any special things you should think about with your tools as you're putting them away?
Well, I take mine and repaint the handle, take and scrape off all the soil and that kind of stuff. And if they look like they need to be sharpened, sharpen them. Rub some kind of oil on them, tongue oil or whatever's available, and then stand them. I put the shovel end of the shovel in the sand in the garage so that they stay upright and I don't have to worry about them falling over and tripping over them, and just leave them there for the winter. And they come out just like I put them in. They stay dry. They stay clean.
What about hanging pots? There are some flowers and things that you buy, say like a fuchsia or something in a pot or begonias in a pot. Can you just store those in your garage, say, for the winter and revive them?
Fuchsias need to be cut back, cut maybe 6 to 8 inches, and stored where they're going to stay very cool because you don't want them to get warm and start growing too soon. Begonias, most of the garden club ladies take them out of their pots, check them to make sure that there's not some kind of insect damage or they've got a real soft spot that's going to mold, and cut that off, let that harden over, let it dry out some, and then pack it away. Wrap it in newspaper, put it in a cardboard box, put it on the shelf in the garage where it's going to stay cool. With your dahlias, you need to, when you take them up, wash all the soil off the tubers. And then if they're old tubers and they're soft or they look like they're damaged, you need to cut those off, let them dry, and then put those in a box. And you'll see in the spring when it's time to take them out of the box, they start getting the little red buds coming up so that you know it's going to grow. And you can, that you know, that's what we do.
You mentioned about seaweed being an option to cover your garden. Are there other things that you should consider or could consider to cover your garden with? And how extensive do you cover it? I mean, should you have a blanket of stuff over your garden or just a little bit here and there?
Well, in my garden, it depends on what's planted in the bed. I have a lot of iris, and I have the tall bearded iris that I don't do anything to. I just leave the area where those are planted alone. I've made it a very sandy area, so I don't put any mulch over that. Around the columbine, over the hosta beds, over the bulbs, I will put maybe 1 to 2 inches of the small wood chips. If I have a hosta bed, I will just leave those leaves and add the maple leaves to that because that's a good mulch for those. And usually by spring, that's all broken down enough that it can just be worked into the soil. Under the maple trees, I try and keep that cleaned up, keep stuff away from the very trunk of the tree, but I will add the bark to that. It helps keep the soil in these torrential downpours that we've been having from being washed away. It also protects the roots. Again, it depends on the plant, what you put around it, but most of the things in my garden are covered with the small pieces of bark.
Are there things you shouldn't do to your garden in the winter that maybe sometimes people go out there and vigorously do something, either cover it with a certain material they shouldn't or doing other things that maybe it's best now to just let things rest, so to speak?
Well, I would not put black plastic over my garden now. I wouldn't put rocks over it unless that was going to be the covering for that bed. I wouldn't put anything that had damaged or diseased material back in the garden. I wouldn't go out with a weed eater to cut everything down. I would do it a little at a time. I think it's best when you can control what you're cutting. Like if you have some of the tall grasses and you want to cut those back, now's a good time to do that. But don't use a weed eater. You know, take the big shears and cut it so that it's the height that you want. And then the new growth comes up from that.
Just like trimming things back rather than hacking away.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay.
I don't break things off. Like if this branch needs to be removed, I won't grab a hold of it and rip it off. I'll get either the pruning shears or the loppers or the saw and cut it off. You want to be sure that your trees and shrubs go dormant before you prune.
Yeah, that's a good question about pruning. When do you prune? Is that something that you do in the fall, in the spring?
It depends on the plant, but with woody plant, with your shrubs and your trees, you don't prune those until they're go dormant. If a branch breaks, that's a different story. That needs to be removed so that there's less chance of disease getting there. Usually on your tag, especially with roses, it will tell you when to prune, or you can look online. The library has lots of books, and oftentimes you can get their garden books in their sale rack, and there's tons of garden books at the Rendezvous thrift store.
But wouldn't dormancy be in the winter?
Or? Yes, yes, okay. Dormancy is
so
in the
winter. So it's coming up soon,
yes,
but not necessarily right now.
The maple trees are losing their leaves. I don't know that they're dormant now.
But you want to do it before they start budding in
yes,
the spring.
Yes, okay. I think that's the best time. Okay. But again, I'm not a tree expert, but you can find that information online or in books, and it tells you. And many of the bookstores have Gardening in Southeast Alaska that will help you with a lot of the plants that we raise here. And if you go to the Extension Office website, you can type in whatever you need and information from experts will pop right up. Or you can come to Garden Club and talk to people there.
Yes, there are a lot of knowledgeable people there.
Yes,
and
there
I
are.
Also do want to say my own experience. I actually have called the Cooperative Extension, and they have been very, very helpful in giving you information. And they do have free brochures
you can
get online or contact them. But they were very helpful. I wrote it all down, but I don't have it off the top of my head. But like things about, you know, the last frost of the season
yes.
for Ketchikan and
yes.
all those things and the
yes.
first whatever, all the various things you're supposed to know. I did write it down. I have it in my garden journal.
Oh, yay! Good for you.
My garden journal, I have to sadly say, has not been well attended to, but I did do a little bit of that per your advice, Lee, which was, it's helpful. It does help you track some things. So.
Well, we are so busy. And the garden requires as much work as your house. And so you just kind of have to pace yourself. You know, what is the most important thing to do? And do that first. And then as you have time, because there'll be days when the ground isn't frozen, you can go out and do specific things. But remember, the garden is beautiful even in the wintertime. Take your coffee out and sit out there. It's monochromatic. It's calm, it's beautiful, and you can envision what you want to do for spring.
Okay, we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I think we've covered everything that I found on all the Do It in the Garden lists and the things that I normally do. So I think we're good for
Till spring. Near spring. Okay, and again, thank you so much, Lee Skidmore, for coming in and sharing your gardening experiences. Again, Garden Club tonight has a program on forcing bulbs. That's at 6:30 at the
yes.
Ketchikan Public Library. And an opportunity to meet fellow gardeners if you have questions.
Yes.
It is a very friendly group of people willing to help. So,
yes.
Thank you very much
again.
Thank you. And again, that will do it for this season's gardening series. We'll be back in the spring with more. And again, thanks to everyone who has come in and helped out during the gardening call-in shows that we have been having.